Okay, thank you all for joining us today. And I want to give a big thank you to Wojtek Osowiecki and Jamie Hanning for joining us. So Jamie is Director of ESG, and Wojtek is Product Marketing Engineer at Lam Research. And this interview is an element of IRI's new sustainability community. The sustainability community provides resources and networking opportunities for members as you promote sustainability in your innovation practices. As the community grows, you'll be able to access facilitated roundtable discussions on key topics. These are on the fourth Thursday of the month. Case studies and white papers with industry examples, and updates with insights and additional resources, and interviews with thought leaders like we're doing today. And these almost always take place on the fourth Thursday of the month. We're messing things around next month because we've got IRI's annual conference. And so I'll be speaking to Jerry Porter of Procter & Gamble on May 11th, and I'll send you the calendar invitations to that. So sorry to mess things around, but you know, I wanted to get that interview in May, and I'll be running around the conference in Philly, and I hope to see many of you there too. So I'll be sure to sign all of you up for updates to the sustainability community if you aren't already receiving them. And if you don't want to get them, just let me know. I hate having to send people emails that they don't want to get, so just let me know. A few housekeeping items to get through before we can begin our conversation. So first, this session is being recorded, and you will get a link to the recording. We will be distributing the recording as a podcast, so there will not be any visuals here today. Please second, hold all questions until the end. And once we open the floor to questions, you can either type them into the chat and I'll read it out for you, or you can come on video and ask your question face to face, so to speak. Okay, all that stuff out of the way. Big thank you. So tell us about your background and about Lam Research. Wojtek, let's start with you.
Sure. Yeah. So thank you for this warm introduction. My name is Wojtek, and together with Jamie, we are representing Lam Research. Lam Research is a manufacturer of wafer manufacturing equipment. So basically, we make tools that other companies use to make chips. We specialize in etch product as well as deposition product. And further, we have some business in clean and a few other places. But we're market leaders when it comes to etching and deposition, which are one of the two fundamental techniques required to make all kinds of chips, whether it's logic, memory, pretty much anything that's powering, you know, all of our devices. So that's about Lam Research. And myself personally, I've been at Lam for about 4 years. I'm currently in a product marketing role, and one of my responsibilities involved the ESG roadmap in Lam's Edge product group. And before that, I got my PhD in physical chemistry from UC Berkeley. So I entered Lam as a process engineer. And I'm also here today on behalf of the Lam Employee Sustainability Community, which is our employee resource group. And I am the founder as well as the chair.
Awesome. Thanks, Wojtek. And Jamie, can you tell us about your background?
Yeah, sure. So I am the ESG director at Lam. I have also been here for about 4 years, a little bit more than that. Prior to this, I was in a similar role for a consulting firm doing their internal ESG strategy and goal setting and reporting. But I've been working in sustainability the entirety of my career. I've worked in the energy efficiency field. I've worked in waste. I've done a lot of environmental education. So I have kind of a variety of experience and different angles that I bring to the job today. So.
Awesome. And sticking with you, Jamie, can you talk us through Lam's overall ESG strategy?
Yeah, so we kind of organize our strategy by six pillars. We have our business and governance pillar, and that includes like how we govern ESG at Lam. It includes our ethics and compliance, cybersecurity, and other topics like that. We have our product pillar. This really looks at how we approach innovation within the company, and then how we are working to make our products more sustainable. From an environmental perspective. We have our sustainable operations, and this covers all of our activities around our climate efforts, as well as how we're addressing waste, water, pollution, chemicals within our own operations. We have Workplace that's really focused on our inclusion, diversity, as well as our employee development programs and how we engage employees. We have Responsible Supply Chain, which is looking at, you know, how we're engaging our suppliers and working towards a more responsible overall supplier footprint for environmental and social topics such as human rights. And then last but not least, we have our community pillar. And that encompasses our foundation and our employee giving programs and volunteering. So, you know, we kind of frame across these six pillars. We set goals across all of those different topics. And then my role is really working with the individual teams across the business to identify and implement those best practice strategies and then report on our progress. You know, looking forward and back. So.
Okay. And so how do you work across the business to develop those goals and then put the plans in place to actually make them happen?
Well, I think one of the most helpful things that we have in place today to do that is our ESG leadership team. And that includes representatives from across the business. It has HR, supply chain, legal, our investor relations team, our EHS, our facilities. It's a fairly good representation of the key business units within our organization that have some sort of ownership or responsibility for ESG within the company. And we have what we call the LAM management system, and that really is just kind of how we function as a business.
Oh, Jamie, you've gone on mute. I'm not entirely sure how that happened. I didn't mute you.
I didn't touch anything.
No. So could you start again? Sorry. Thanks.
The LAM management system. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it essentially is how we run the business. It has all of our accountability mechanisms and, you know, kind of how we identify risk and report up through the different business units. So we've taken steps to try to embed ESG within that system rather than creating something new. So we have many of our ESG objectives built into our annual planning process and then also our longer term ways that we plan across the business. So I think those two, that group and then that process, are kind of the two main ways that we embed sustainability within the business. That ESG leadership team, they're coming together on a quarterly basis to report on progress. They're discussing risks. They're identifying issues that we can escalate if needed. And then a big part of what I do is ensure that the different leadership teams understand where we're at, where we have problems, and I can help escalate that. So I communicate, you know, progress towards goals, identified risks, et cetera, to our executive team. We have an ESG executive team that consists of CEO and CEO staff, as well as the board of directors. And, you know, just make sure that there's visibility into, you know, what's going well, what we can improve upon, and making sure that we have that support to move forward. And then we do also have kind of a parallel structure that's very specifically focused on net zero. And we formed that because we felt like it's such a big goal and it's so long term, being a 2050 goal, that we needed to have a very dedicated group of people that could focus on that and have their own, mechanisms for collaborating, sharing information, and, you know, reporting up on progress and risks as kind of a separate parallel process.
Okay. And we're going to keep you on the hot seat for just a little while longer, Jamie. We're setting the stage on the strategic side, and then we're going to move over to the ERG side in a second. So, you know, what metrics do you use to measure the success of all the sustainability work that you all are doing?
Yeah. Well, we currently have 19 goals across our six pillars. And so we're tracking metrics related to those. You know, for example, some of our sustainable operations goals are around emissions reductions. So, you know, we're tracking year over year emissions reductions, or we have some goals in HR to increase the proportion of women and underrepresented minorities within the company. So we're tracking metrics related to that. And then, you know, another key way that, or I guess ways that we're measuring success, are through the different rating and ranking organizations that are out there. You know, there's a lot of them, and we've kind of narrowed down to the ones that we think are the most valuable and important for our stakeholders. So we are responding to the Dow Jones Sustainability Index and the CDP questionnaires every year. We are also paying attention to ISS, Sustainalytics, and MSCI. And I think those give us a really good understanding of how well we're doing. And kind of, you know, we can use it not only to kind of score where we are, but also benchmark against our peers and customers, and making sure that we're staying in line with the industry. And then, you know, I think a more qualitative and kind of intuitive way that I'm measuring success is just by taking note of when teams are kind of starting to work on projects within the business on their own. I think, you know, I see my role a bit as planting seeds, and then those are going to go and grow and sprout on their own, and in some cases maybe they won't. But you know, I get really excited when I hear of things that I didn't know about, and I see teams are working on individual or separate projects that, you know, tie back to our ESG goals. And I feel like that really is a measure of success, in that, you know, it's happening on its own. It means that ESG is kind of starting to be embedded into the culture, and that, you know, it's just kind of got a life of its own at that point. So, you know, our ESG team is small, and we can't do everything, and we can't be in every meeting or at the table for every discussion, and not that I want to be either. So I think that really, you know, to me is going to be one of the major measures of success, is when, like, all of that stuff is kind of just moving in its own, with its own engine. And, you know, ESG is there to support and offer those best practices and be able to help gather what's happening and communicate that out to the street and to our internal stakeholders. But, you know, it's kind of operating as its own thing.
Okay. All right. So this is the question. This is my segue question. So how do you work with the ERG?
Yeah, well, you know, I was more hands-on in the beginning. At first, it was just Wojtek and I talking about an idea and, you know, trying to figure out how we might make something work at LAM. And, you know, a lot of what I do is more focused on kind of that top level, top down approach. But I really do strongly believe in that bottoms up is needed. And I feel like, you know, working with Wojtek to build out this sustainability community has really been able to grow that kind of more organic and bottoms up approach, where employees feel, empowered to kind of take on projects, identify opportunities, speak up, and, you know, advocate for change. And so, you know, I think it's a really important and something I'm really passionate about. So when Wojtek came to me and wanted to create something, I was all for it. So, you know, at this point I'm in more of an advisory role. Like, the group is up and running. It's going gangbusters, really. And so, you know, I'm just trying to kind of offer them support where I can. I think Wojtek would say one of my main roles is to make sure there's executive support for the group, which I'm happy to do. And then I also, you know, feel like I can offer kind of guidance on making sure that whatever activities that they're working on are connected back to our broader corporate ESG goals and that there's alignment, because I want to make sure that, you know, the executives understand the value and the role that this group can play and, you know, connect it all back to the bigger picture. So that's kind of where I feel like I'm offering the most value at this point.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Wojtek, tell us about the ERG. How did it get started? Whole nine yards.
Very well. Well, I just want to add that Jamie is our official advisor. We have an advisory board. We invited people from different business units that we want to hear from because they inspire us and they can provide the kind of support that Jamie was describing. So just want to emphasize that, you know, Jamie has been with us from the get-go and she still holds the official advisor role. But yeah, let's go from the beginning, right? So as Jamie said, initially it was just me. I was a process engineer, always passionate about sustainability, and was kind of looking for ways that an average employee like me who doesn't have sustainability in their day job description can contribute and help with, you know, the big transition that our industry is going through. And I kind of combined my previous sustainability experience as well as what I've been doing as a volunteer. So especially when I call out the Berkeley Energy and Resources Collaborative, or BERC. For those of you who may be familiar with Berkeley, we've had like a interdisciplinary group of more than 1,000 students. It's still going very strong. I show up at their alumni events. So they kind of taught me how you can organize at a big organization. And then I also combined the sort of informal experiences that I've seen at LAM, especially a lunch group that it's combining data scientists and process engineers. I thought that it was a very awesome, it still is very awesome, inclusive place where people come in and talk about something that they're passionate and kind of go outside of the day job and thinking, you know, how can we use machine learning, artificial intelligence to innovate at LAM? And I thought, well, why can't we have something like that just on sustainability? And it quickly turned out that people really resonated with this idea. It started very informally. I sent out some emails to, you know, my colleagues, friends. We started invited speakers. Jamie was one of our first speakers. And every time we had an event, more and more people would show up. They said, okay, we should have a mailing list. We should get a little bit more organized. So we've been kind of growing this way. And as we talk, it quickly became evident that employees don't want to just be kind of sitting around and listening to other people or discussing sustainability, but they're very action driven. So from the get-go, we were kind of running surveys and polling people like, what do you want to do? Help us prioritize, because fundamentally, I don't believe you can do everything. So it's better to know like what you should be prioritizing. And from the get-go, people are like, well, I want to help with sustainability. I want to see meaningful change. So we started reorienting toward action. And of course, that means that, you know, we need to get structured. We need to work in teams. We need to know what the goals are. And we've been very fortunate because we got that support from people like Jamie. And then LAM has the framework of an employee resource group, right? So with an executive support, we were able to petition to become LAM's 15th employee resource group. And since then, we had a budget, we had that formal executive oversight, as well as a structure that kind of inspire us to grow, but also gives us a lot of flexibility. And I pride myself of pushing the envelope and kind of seeing, you know, how far we can take it and what else we can do that maybe, you know, hasn't been done before.
Right, so what are some of the activities that you all do?
Yeah, of course. So we're volunteer driven. So we pretty much do what people are excited about and willing to donate their time for. As I said, it's been changing because as we grew, we had to become more structured, organized. So now we have like various planning committees and chapters, but fundamentally always sticks with our vision. And our vision and mission is about the two pillars. So the first pillar is educate, and the second pillar is empower, right? So educate is really the mission around making sure that we are constantly becoming more educated about the issues of environmental sustainability, as well as the inclusion and diversity. Because as an employee resources group, we have an official goal of supporting DEI goals at LAM. And there's actually a really cool overlap between the two that maybe later I can talk about. But for the educate goals, we invite speakers, we host workshops, we collect and promote useful materials, and then we encourage people to follow their interest in sustainability, whether it's at home or at LAM or you know, within their local communities, et cetera. And then empowering is really about, you know, changing that our members can bring at LAM and beyond. So we encourage them and help them out to participate in projects. We start new ones. And we also collaborate with various internal and external organizations. So I can, you know, keep giving examples. They are more concrete, but that's the oversight, the educate and empower.
Okay. And so how does the ERG contribute to innovation at LAM? Because I know that's something you're passionate about too.
Yeah. And that's a pretty interesting topic because historically volunteers, you know, they're not involved in companies' product design and innovation. However, you know, we believe that there is a more effective way where product groups and business groups have a space to explore how volunteers can help them fill in what's currently unresourced, or maybe it's not the primary business objective, but it has to be done with a lot of thoughtfulness and kind of understanding the culture, right? Because we don't want to be stepping on anybody's toes, and we also don't want to become like, you know, unpaid workers or interns. So as I said before, our volunteers only do what they're interested in and they choose to participate. And fortunately, there's so much enthusiasm for environmental progress that we decided to form a group of volunteers of engineers and other technically minded people who are brainstorming what LAM should be focusing on the near and far future. And that's where that close collaboration with Jamie and other business group is so important, because we want to make sure that we're never duplicating efforts. And we understand, you know, what the current ESG objectives are. And again, a volunteering work is not something where we can like go deep into IP or replace our official business structures, but it's much more about planting the seed, as Jamie said, and maybe kind of building a big framework. And again, people are just kind of excited about it. They bring new papers and we kind of maybe make a PowerPoint and then we can share it with our executives. So they kind of have this conversation starter. And in fact, some of our ideas have already been adopted by the product group, which has been really exciting for us. And, you know, like I said, it really has to be a two-way street, because businesses kind of, in our opinion, needs to cultivate the culture where volunteering and speaking up is encouraged and recognized. And when this happens, you know, people are really happy to help out with the challenges that really matter for them. And, you know, environmental issues are certainly something that fall under this category.
Okay. And so it's Earth Month.
Yes.
What have you all been doing?
Well, frankly, there's been so much going on that it's a little bit hard to keep track, which is a great thing. We have a central planning Earth Month committee that's, you know, bigger than LAM Employee Sustainability Community and encompasses all of LAM. So it consists of members from our groups and many different ones, such as environmental, health and safety. We have business, facilities, corporate communications, human resources. And then we made sure that we have both in-person events and global virtual events. So that's kind of similar to what we do within LESC, because, you know, we got founded during COVID. So, of course, it was really hard to do anything in person. And then we grew and we really embraced the power of being able to host events, you know, across continents, across different time zones. But then, you know, there's also a big value of doing in-person things, whether it's volunteering. So, for example, we had a really awesome pollination bee release at one of our campuses in Tualatin. We had a visit to a recycling facility. We've been doing a range of different cleanups and volunteering events, whether to help out at parks or at our campus. So that's on the in-person side. Virtually, we've had an Earth Month executive panel called Why on Earth Does It Matter, where four of our top executives came together and, you know, talked specifically about the business challenges, opportunities, and how we're doing more candidly on the net zero commitments, because as we all know, it's a hard year this year. And, you know, we have to be very, I think, organized, and we have to be quite smart about business decisions. But it was really, I think, inspiring for people to see that our executives are, you know, not willing to compromise on our commitment to net zero and what it means in practice for business. And then we've had so many things that we came up with an idea of Earth Month Bingo. So there is 24 different activities, because, you know, the central square is free, of course. And then if you hit the bingo, you receive additional funds that you can donate to charity of your choice via the corporate system. So I think we're having a lot of fun this year.
No, that's awesome. I love the bingo idea. And you, and so the charities, are they, you know, the charity anything, or are they all kind of in part of Earth Month type? environmental
charity? So the funds that you get is you can donate it to any charity of your choosing. So we have this awesome corporate system where, you know, the charities are, I guess, pre-screened, and we give a standard matching. We have a one-to-one match, but you get additional funds. So you can donate it to what you want. And, you know, a lot of people go for environmental ones, and I think I might as well give a shout out that last year we won the Environmental Stewardship Award at LAM, and we donated $2,000 to our charity called One Tree Planted. So we planted 2,000 trees because they plant one tree per dollar. And this year, more people collected more funds to keep planting trees. So, you know, like I said, plenty of different ways to get involved and contribute.
Awesome. And, you know, you alluded to this, but I just want to go a little deeper. So I know, you know, LAM is a global organization, and you have other branches of the ERG in other countries, right? So mm-hmm. How does that work? And what have they been doing?
Yeah. So we call them chapters. And that's, mm-hmm. again, about the sort of pushing the envelope, because traditionally, on different continents, people would find different separate employee resource groups. So we have a lot of women organizations, and there's Women of Malaysia, and there's the US group. And from the get-go, maybe because of COVID, we felt that, you know, the boundaries don't matter for us. So we kind of got together and we were thinking, okay, how can we stay together? And the framework that we came up with, you know, it's global and local. By what I mean is that, you know, you have to thread that needle and establish local chapters that are independent enough to do their own projects and understand what challenges and opportunities they're facing on the ground. But then there's no reason why we couldn't share best ideas. We couldn't come together for virtual events. We couldn't support each other. So if anything is a virtual role, for example, a webmaster or a newsletter, we try to do it together. And we're so used to working across different time zones. We have a very active, I guess I don't want to say community, but a part of our company in India. India is very much growing for us, and we have a lot of engineers there. So, you know, we're used to that 12-hour time zone difference, I guess. We just, you know, sometimes we have to meet at like early morning, or they have to meet in evening or whatever, but for a good cause, I think it's worth it. So that's the global part. And the local part is, you know, we encourage people to have sort of mirrored leadership, to have their own advisors. And then, you know, the in-person events, for obvious reasons, are specific to a group. India had a really awesome one they called Best Out of Trash, where they invited people to look at, you know, things they would throw away and how they can repurpose them or make art. And people got really creative with it. The other one that's kind of mixing the in-person and virtual is Grow Your Own Food Challenge. So one of our board members is inviting people to sign up to take photos of the plants that they're growing. And it's not only like the bragging rights, but we also have people who are like supporting each other. And I've been learning so much about hydroponics there now that we have several employees who grow inside their houses. So there's this beautiful hydroponic garden. Somebody just sent us a photo of, you know, strawberries that she's growing on her kitchen counter. So people are just so innovative. And suddenly we have this subgroup of hydroponic LASK members, and they exchange ideas, and they're like, hey, which kit did you get? Like, what do you do when you have this problem? So again, you know, when it's in person, they're exchanging even seedlings, I think, and more globally, you know, photos, ideas. We have something very similar for the composting group. They hosted two in-person / virtual events with master composters, one from UC Berkeley and another one from the Oregon State. But then again, we've had a guy who does a bucket composting in India. So he hosted a workshop of how you can do, again, composting on your balcony, where, you know, all you have is a 5-gallon bucket. So people are just so incredibly innovative. And it's sort of similar to what we do at our day job, where, you know, we're pushing the envelope and we're constantly inventing, you know, how we can get to the next generation of semiconductor equipment. But, you know, people are just so talented, and they apply the same mindset for environmental problems. So I've seen, like I said, a lot of really fun and, you know, really genuine innovation when it comes to, you know, what can I do about composting? What can I do about solar energy? Somebody was telling me that they're thinking of building a concrete house and use a beer glass bottles. And he sent me a paper about how using a lot of glass inside concrete gives for better thermal properties. And I was like, I know nothing about it, but the fact that, you know, you want to share it and talk to us about it is really cool. So, yeah.
Oh, that's really exciting. I want to join the gardening group.
See, you know, maybe we'll expand. We should have some. Well, REI can do it. You know, you can have it across industry. It's a lot of fun.
That's a good point. Yeah, we do have a lot of members. For a while, we had a big contingent of beekeepers, and they would meet separately as a part of the conference. We had a bunch of beekeepers, and I think COVID it kind of calmed things down a bit. But you know, it's exciting to see what people do in their spare time and how they apply their knowledge that they have for their roles in different ways in their own lives too. But, awesome. So, Jamie, what are some of the other stuff that things that you guys are doing for Earth Month kind of at the corporate level?
Well, I think Wojtek kind of covered everything that's happening both within the green teams and at the corporate level. The corporate, the bingo card and the Earth Month panel were kind of collaborations between our team and the Lusk team. Yeah, and for Earth Month, I don't know that there's much to add, but you know, I think what's unique about this group is that it kind of runs the spectrum on what people are interested in. And I think Wojtek has done a really good job of like providing a direction, but not telling anyone that they can't do what they want to do, you know? And I think that's really important because you have people that are passionate about particular topics and, you know, some people want to do something that's more related to their home life, but there's a huge, you know, contingent of folks that are like, I am a process engineer and I see this issue. And so I want to bring a team together and see if we can solve it, you know, and they can kind of work together through this, under this Lusk umbrella, to, you know, start really solving issues that are important to the company. And another example is a group that came together and wanted to work on making our cafeteria more sustainable. And so we connected them with our employee services team, and they started a committee, and they worked to get rid of plastic, single-use plastic. They advocated for less or carbon-free meals, you know, so less meat or more vegetarian options. I think they're still both, but, you know, just trying to diversify what's offered on the menu. And then they've advocated for making sure that we're you know, using durable dishes as much as possible in our offerings in the cafeterias and things like that. So, you know, it kind of, the spectrum is broad on the different things that folks are working on. But I think it really allows for a lot of innovation and creativity. And, you know, I think the company is really benefiting because, as I said, like, you know, we're a small team. There's only, you know, a certain number of individuals that even really have ESG responsibilities within their day-to-day job. So like, we do need those folks that are on the ground that are like seeing what opportunities exist on a day-to-day basis. They know their job way better than I do. So they're going to be able to come up with those creative and innovative ideas and then put them into practice. And, you know, the combination of Lusk being a really robust group and then, you know, our ESG team being able to offer resources and connect people with the right teams and, you know, gather that executive support where needed. Like, I think we have been really able to accomplish a lot with, you know, the limited resources that we have.
And, you know, sticking with you, Jamie, where do you want things to go? How would you like it to evolve from here?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing I've learned is that, you know, if you're standing still, you're falling behind. And that's, you know, I think the sustainability field just continues to evolve so quickly. So, you know, I'm always kind of looking forward to what's next and making sure that we can be prepared for that. As a company, you know, at the top level, net zero is going to continue to be a high priority for us. You know, we're looking at renewables, lower global warming potential gases, really starting to dig into the supplier side of things, and then also always trying to improve upon our data and reporting. When it comes to, you know, how we're working with the LAM employee sustainability community, you know, I think we have a really great foundation. And so I think we're going to continue to build on that. I would love to see the global chapters grow and have more engagement and influence in some of the regions outside of the U.S., which I think, you know, that team has done a really great job already of just trying to build that infrastructure and really like reaching out and finding people within those local offices that can build something on their own. So I've been really impressed with like how quickly some of those chapters have been set up. And would just love to see that, you know, continue to grow over time. And, you know, I would love to see more support for, you know, drawing out those innovative and creative ideas. We've been talking about maybe doing some sort of hackathon or, you know, some sort of way to bring together really smart engineers and people that kind of know our products inside out and out to like pull together those opportunities. And I think the sustainability community has a really great role to play in that, just in, you know, they already are the kind of like agile and on the ground organic kind of organization. So being able to kind of pull together those ideas and act on them with the support of, you know, the corporate team, of course, I think that really excites me because I think there's a lot that we can glean. And I just, you know, I go back to the fact that like that everybody is an expert in their own role. My job is not to know all of the things that, you know, a process engineer knows or a supply chain manager knows. Like that my role is to help facilitate and empower and, you know, give those people the tools and the knowledge or the motivation that they need to start, you know, implementing ESG principles within their own work. So, you know, I'm really excited to see how our team along with LESS can continue to kind of plant those seeds and grow that from the, you know, more organically and from the grounds up.
Pun not intended.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And Wojtek, how about you? How would you like to see the LESC grow?
Yeah, I mean, Jamie covered a lot of ground and I agree with everything what she said. I do want to add the inter-industry collaboration. So I think that it's, you know, it's awesome to see how much we've accomplished at LAM, but we've been fortunate to, you know, via our trade association and groups like yours, to be able to open up and go outside of what we do internally and, you know, kind of learn what other companies have been up to. So I do want to give out a shout out to ASML, who's one of our partners in industry. You might know them as, you know, the only company that can do EUV lithography in the world. And they have an awesome sister team to ours. They're called ASML Green. And we're going to be doing, we're going to be hosting a panel at one of our, industry conferences coming up. It's called SemiCon. So we're going to have a panel together. And the idea is to share best practices as well as basically do more, right? So we've gone from individuals to company, and I see a big opportunity for, you know, one company going to entire industries, right? And that work has already started, but there's so much of an opportunity when it comes to standards, when it comes to sharing best practices, when it comes to really pushing the needle and hosting, you know, events and conferences that wouldn't just encompass one company, but it could encompass several companies, right? I mean, using the hackathon idea, as long as it's pre-competitive space and something we can talk about openly, and there's many of such directions and opportunities, you know, you don't need to have hundreds of people, you can literally have thousands of people, right? And I'm really excited about turning passive participants and audience into active members. And we've done it at LESC, but you know, I was telling you about our gardening and you immediately thought, well, how come we cannot have that? And the answer is you should absolutely do it. And I think that's the kind of magic that we're trying to bring, is that I get bored if I'm just like talking to people and nothing happens afterwards. I'm very naturally being like, well, what is your idea? What do you want to do about that? Right. And I see no value in reinventing the wheel or working in silos. I really want us to, go to a place where we can work as industry or even across industries, right? Like your group, IRI, is a prime example of that, you know, inter-industry collaboration and exchange of ideas. So I'm absolutely excited to see what can come here. I see a lot of value for written documents and kind of, writing things down, promoting them. So it can be boring at times, but I think it's extremely valuable. And I always remind our teams, you did a great event, but if you don't document it, you're going to forget you did it. And then we cannot put it in our impact report. So I'm always like, yes, this was great, but please summarize it, put it in a place so that when we look back, we can learn from it. I'm a huge proponent of lesson learns and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. And we're going to go ahead and open the floor to questions now. So if anyone would like to drop a question in the chat, that's fine. Or you can unmute yourself and come on and ask your question, you know, face to face, so to speak. You can go ahead and raise your hand if you want to do that. You know, I had one just come in to me. So somebody's asking about the governance structure for LESC. I think you touched on it a little bit, but if you could go a little deeper for us, Wojtek.
Sure. So again, we have the same structures as any other employee resource group. So we're kind of fortunate that we could just, take the structure and use it. It's relatively flexible what it requires. And I don't remember all the details, but you have to have a chair, you have to have a vice chair, you have to have a treasurer. And then you can define any number of roles that you think are fit. For us, it's changing, but right now we have a strategy and development, we have a chief of staff, we have events and communications, and we have membership, and we have global liaisons, right? So those are the kind of roles within the board. Under the board, we're growing so much that now we, under the board, we have what we call directors. So people who look at things like inclusion and diversity strategy, data projects. We have a lot of people on the events team, a lot of people on the project coordination team. We have a green team liaison. So it's a little technical, but green teams and LESC are working together, but green teams are the in-person groups and they can involve contractors and employee resource groups as defined by LAM. They are only open to full-time employees. So we span out green teams so that we can also invite contractors who are, you know, doing a lot of important work on sites. And then we have our advisory committee, and Jamie is one of the members. And then we have an executive sponsor, Stacey McNeil, who's the executive sponsor for Net Zero for LAM, as well as the executive vice president for corporate communications. So she's been our huge proponent, and that's like, you know, she can give us a lot of visibility when needed. So that's on the governance. I guess the chapters are also interesting for us, right? So we have the US chapter, we have the Malaysia chapter, India chapter, and Europe chapter. They're all different based on the membership as well as the structure, because in India and Malaysia, they're quite local. But in Europe, they have like, you know, 17 different countries and many like local satellite offices. So they have to work very differently to make that happen. And then East Asia is our least developed chapter. We're kind of trying to spawn it and seeing what works for them. Again, it's all about culture. So we're kind of learning how to activate East Asia. We currently have something like 50 members, but they're not exactly a chapter just yet.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for clarifying on that. So Felix Liu from University of Chicago has jumped in with a question, and he asks, in a broad implementation of the ESG initiative such as yours, Were there any unexpected challenges? How do you strategically prioritize the various facets within the ESG implementation? Are they self-selecting after planting the seed?
You want to start, Jamie?
Sure. Well, I think from the corporate perspective, you know, the way that we're prioritizing is by conducting a materiality assessment on a regular basis. So we did one in 2018, and then we just did another one last year in the fall. So I think that really helps us continue to focus. And, you know, I know our six pillars are fairly broad, and we do kind of look at what I think is a very comprehensive program for initiatives. But, you know, within those six pillars, we do kind of prioritize, and, you know, some of the things that do rise to the top are, you know, our climate goals and strategy, our I&D efforts, and product stewardship or product sustainability are some of the things that rise to the top there. But, you know, that doesn't mean we're not also investing in some of the more like run the business type activities that at this point have just become kind of like foundational and a part of like who we are, like they like ethics and compliance, or, you know, overall governance, those types of things are just, and they're like very strong and robust within the organization. Some of the unexpected challenges, I mean, I think it's always just balancing overall business priorities. You know, ESG has been growing in importance for our stakeholders for the last several years, I would say, especially climate. I'm also seeing more focus on human rights. Of course, inclusion and diversity is also a very high priority for our stakeholders. So, you know, I think like as much as we all want to be able to focus on that as much as possible, there's also just all of the other competing priorities we have as a business, keeping our products, getting our products out the door on time, you know, product safety, product quality, like keeping our customers happy is of utmost importance as well. So, you know, and especially in what we would consider kind of a hard year with some of the downturn in the semiconductor industry as a whole, you know, we have to have some hard conversations and trade-offs. But I don't, it never means that we're not deprioritizing ESG. We're just, you know, kind of making some decisions about where we put most of our effort. And then, you know, I think other challenges are just continuing to educate and build awareness within the company. We're, you know, we were almost, I think, 19,000 employees at the end of last year. And so that's a lot of folks to get on board. And, you know, we have to kind of make sure that people understand why we're doing it, why it's important, and, you know, kind of continue to have that conversation. And, you know, there's certain people within the organization that get it and run with it. But then there's other folks that are like, well, I have all of these other things I need to do. Why are you telling me I need to do this as well? And it's like, okay, well, let's have this conversation. What does this mean for you? How can we tie it to what's important to your group or team? And, you know, how can we tie it to our customers and what they're looking for and what they're expecting? So it's a lot of, you know, ongoing conversations like that to just ensure that everybody understands why we're doing this and can contribute in their own way.
Thanks, Jamie. And Wojtek, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, one of the challenge we had was that we are the first employee resource group at LAMB that is not identity based. So we did need to look at what is the definition of employee resource group, right? Because all the other groups are, you know, focusing on LGBTQ rights or, you know, supporting of women, or we have a Black Employee Alliance. So that was an interesting conversation. And honestly, it became a big opportunity for us because through that conversation, we became much more aware of the fact that we can focus on inclusion and diversity in combination with environmental sustainability. And that's something that, you know, it's really appropriate for us and can become a bigger priority for us. So, you know, environmental justice, climate equity are the topics that we keep educating ourselves on. We invited a professor from Oregon to tell us about climate equity. And it's an ongoing project of, you know, what it means for us to do environmental sustainability work in a way that it's inclusive and diverse. And this definition is changing, but this year, like I said, we explicitly called out members who resonate with this to help us structure it. So that's a work in progress, but it's been interesting, like I said, challenge and opportunity being the first non-identity-based ERG at LAM.
Awesome, thank you. And does anyone want to jump in with one last question? We have time for maybe just one small one more. But if not, we can wrap up here. All right, we covered a lot. Oh, nope. One small question left. So, has the LESC bottom-up process led to any particularly surprising new metrics or policies that have been adopted more broadly at LAM?
I would say not yet, and I'm not even sure if that's the goal, to be honest, because if we've come up with something so surprising that I'm getting too worried that our business is not doing their job. So I hope that, and again, because I have this dual role, I also work for the business and I have a day job responsibility in ESG. We have a lot of experts and people who are working hard to make sure that we avoid those surprises. So if that happens, I think it will be a little bit of a warning flag for me, like, oh boy, like maybe we should be doing a better job here. But I think the cool part is being able to work with academics more. We have this grant project called Unlock Ideas, and it's actually coming up due May 5th, and we're giving $50,000 to academics who can work on a grant that is relevant for LAM's work, but we are not requiring any exclusivity, so you can still publish things. You know, sounds like Felix is from university, so I'm just giving a, you know, shout out that it's a cool thing that's happening, and our volunteers want to work with academics, so perhaps we'll learn something from this work that will surprise us, right? So we're definitely staying open to it, but for now, it's more of like, we have a good strategy, but it's, like Jamie said, by 2050, what does it mean to get there? What are the under-resourced places that we can work on? So less about surprises and more about doing the work and setting up the foundation to educate the product groups what they should be focusing on.
Jamie, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would agree with Wojtek on that. I do think that the group is pushing us to continue to communicate more and more frequently, which I think is a really good thing. I mean, we're moving so quickly, sometimes we forget that we have to make sure we're bringing everybody along. So I think having that community there to be kind of asking those questions and coming to us with ideas on how we can engage employees and that sort of thing has been really helpful. So I think that's a great partnership and a great role that the group plays for us as we work together.
Awesome. And that's a great place to end it. All right. So, oh, sorry. What was that?
No, it's just, if I may, if there are people at this on the call who kind of resonate with what we do and want to learn more. I mean, I don't know, maybe we can share some resources later, but, you know, I really want to make sure that we get such communities at as many companies as possible, basically. So if there's something we can do to help, whether get you started or you have any further questions, you know, we'll be happy to share more, because again, I see no reason why we should keep it as a secret, right? Like, we're here to invite you and have you join us on this journey. Like I said, I'm all about be active. Don't be just a passive audience member.
Awesome. And Kate Mulligan, who's with LAM, just chimed in and she said the LAM cafeteria reduction of single use plastics began with LESC and resulted in a new policy. Not particularly surprising, but it ultimately worked.
Thanks, Kate. And yeah, shout out. She's one of our IND coordinators, by the way. So she has a dual role as well.
Wonderful. Well, Wojtek, Jamie, thank you. This has been really interesting. I'm going to go and try and start one around here. We'll see how that goes.
You should. And if we can help, let us know.
Definitely. And thank you both. And thanks to everyone who joined today and chimed in with questions and comments. And I'll see you on May 11th when we talk to Jerry Porter from P&G. All right. Thanks, everyone. And have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.